Today on Real Radio.
Did you know that in all the religious groups in all of the world, did you know that is the stellar peace? Everybody else is in it for themselves. What does Jesus say to the Christian? Serve one another.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament Gospel or narrative written by Luke. Verses 46 through 48 of chapter 9 tell us of a dispute among the disciples of Jesus regarding who would be the greatest. The Messiah answered in a very curious way. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Heaven in Just One Easy Step.
Children are so precious because you know what? Kids have a natural propensity to believe and trust in God. We mess them up. Children are just, they see God big. And when you tell a little kid, where did the butterfly come from, Daddy? God made the butterfly. And all the whole process, and he's got a little butterfly family somewhere, and they got all this butterfly world they live in. God did that. They just go, wow! They don't go with stuff like, but how does that cope with the Darwinian theory? You've got to talk God out of them. You've got to remove that preciousness that they yield to God. It's natural. Listen, I hope I don't freak you out with this, but follow it through. Mom and Dad, when the kids are little, they look at you and I like they're God, like we're God. We can say something and it's like, okay. They don't know about God just yet. But when Daddy says, can you bring me my book? All right. Don't you think in the family that God, who made family, kind of engineers it that way, that when they grow up a little bit enough to know, hey, Daddy's not God. He's my hero. But God is God. I see. That's what, don't you think the Bible, there's the connection? Jesus said, call God in heaven your Father. It's beautiful. It's tender. Simple. Listen, it's not a child's nature to hold a grudge. Jesus had become like a child. Why? Because little children don't hold a grudge. Have you ever seen a kid out in the backyard sharpening an axe? That guy, man, I can't believe it. I'm going to go, I'll never forgive him. Which leads me to the other thing. A child's nature is never to withhold forgiveness. Have you ever seen little kids when they think they've upset you? Have you ever said, you know what, you hurt Daddy's feelings? Have you seen what they do? They cry with you. I'm just kidding. They feel with you. They don't hold a grudge. Will you forgive Mommy or Daddy? Yep. What do? We grow up. We're not supposed to grow up. Somebody will say, act your age. No. Listen, act my age. Wait, our God's eternal. I'm going to heaven. If I'm going to act my age, I need to act eternal. Well, you need to grow up. That's the problem with the world. It's wound too tight. It's growed up. Jesus said, you want to make it to heaven? You got to become like a child. Don't hold a grudge. Kids don't hold grudges. They issue forgiveness. Children don't hate. You got to teach them hate. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're not going to believe me. I saw, heard it, own eyes, this week in Washington. You're not going to believe it. Although if you care, I'll give you the data to go find it. You and I, every one of us, we've all paid, we are paying money to the United Nations. Follow the track. We pay our taxes, this amount of money goes to the United Nations to produce textbooks, authorized textbooks. They're printed in Europe, by the way. And they are given to the Palestinian children, little children. in Gaza and the West Bank. You say, what's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with it so far, until you open the textbook. And it says in the textbook that the first chance you get, little junior, strap a bomb on you and blow yourself up in a gathering of a bunch of Jews. In the textbook. You say, I don't believe it. That's your problem. I saw it. How can you convince a child to hate? Unbelievable. Jesus said, if you offend the least of these children, it would have been better for you to have never been born. Children don't hate by nature. And then worry. You ever see kids worrying? First of all, a child should never worry. But have you ever seen a three-year-old walking around? How are we going to make the mortgage? How's it going to come together? Dad, what are you doing? Mom, get out there, work two jobs. What do you need me to do? I'll push the mower. What do you need? In my mind, I see this little kid in diapers with a cigar. How do we make this come together? He's got a little, you know, bookie thing on his head. They don't worry. They're not supposed to worry. Jesus said, you need to be like that. Is God God or what? Well, why is my life so messed up? Because you've been driving the thing. God wants to be in control. Simplicity. And then comparison. By accepting the Lord and accepting of the comparison of God. What Jesus does, he says, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me. That's amazing comparison. There's such a powerful word here. When you receive a child, that is when you open your arms, that's what that word means. When you open your arms wide to a child, open your arms wide to me. Can you do that? You say, well, Jack, it's Sunday morning. We've all done that. I just want to be safe and sure. Have you opened? Can you say this morning, I've opened my arms to Jesus like that? You say, well, Pastor, I'm a member of my church. Oh, that's not what I asked. And it's not what Jesus said. He's not going to ask you, and what membership did you have where? That's not what he's going to be asked. It's nowhere in the book. He's going to ask you, did you open up your arms wide to my son? It's one step into the kingdom to see me, God will say. One step. Did you accept my son? Not only by comparison, but by fullness, by accepting and being accepted of is the fullness of God. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. That's a strong word. Jesus is saying, you can't accept me unless you accept my Father. And you have no understanding of accepting a child unless you understand that. So step one was to be open to the ways of God. Step one is to be accepting to the Lord. And step one here is in verse 48, to be responsive to the Lord. For he who is least among you all will be great. Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 9, verse 36, says that Jesus took a child and set him in the midst of the disciples, and we had taken up him into his arms, he said to them. Isn't that beautiful? You got Jesus holding a little child. So we know this, whatever that word means in the age frame of age, they're small enough for Jesus to pick them up. And he's talking to the disciples. Look at this. Wait, kids are humble. And we fight this. Well, you know, come on. I mean, you know, I know we're funny. Position, power, it plays on us to the point that we make it acceptable and normal. We'll justify it. Jesus says you got to become like a child. Be believing again and be trusting again. You say, well, Jack, you know what? I'd love to do that, but, and I'd love to be responsive to the Lord, but the fact is, I've been hurt. Has anybody not been hurt? Oh, I got to tell you something. I'm doing really good to control myself this morning. I kind of lost control for a service because in some of the guys that I was with this week, they're beautiful, dynamic black pastors from the East Coast. One of them was known in the NFL as the praying tailback. His name was Herb Lusk. Played for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now he's pastoring a great church on the East Coast. And I tell you what, I am so white. I cannot sing and clap at the same time. And I just can't stand that part about me. But I tell you, when music gets going and stuff, I am so, so black on the inside. It just doesn't come out. And I tell you, these guys were, I say preaching. I mean, they were just going for it. And you know, they start going like that. And this, he goes, I need somebody to tell me, amen. And so we didn't know what to say. Amen. And he goes, I'm not going to continue until you say amen. And we're going, amen. You know, we're trying to get into it. And he told a story. His first day in the NFL, first play in the NFL, he was scared to death. He said these guys were giants. First play, they're all out there and you hear all this stuff going on. They come back to the huddle. And he said this big, huge offensive guard goes, oh, oh, my hand. And he said his middle finger was completely busted and just laying back against the palm of his hand. And Herb Lusk said, he looked at that and he said, my God, what am I doing here? He said that guy grabbed his finger and went, and he goes, what do you think, when we went to the sidelines, what do you think that big guy said? He said, wouldn't you think he'd gone to the sidelines and said, give me a doctor. I need a doctor. He didn't say doctor. I need a nurse. He didn't say a nurse. He said, give me some duct tape. I need duct tape. And somebody came and they duct taped his hand up. And he said, the next play, we went out there, and he said, that guy was clubbing people with that broken hand of his. He used what he had as a believer. Man, I can just get all sideways about, oh, God, can he use me? Some of us need duct tape in our lives. We need to get wrapped up and get used. Yeah, but I'm hurt. I'm broken. What happened? The pastor hurt my feelings. Oh, yeah? When did that happen? 30 years ago. Grow up. Get off the sidelines. Get back in the game. Get duct tape on you. So don't, first of all, don't let anybody have that much power in your life to keep you sidelined. Number two, you've played right into the hands of the enemy who's kept you sterile from affecting others for God. Get back in there. I don't know. I just don't feel, you know. What? I'm hurt. Get in the game. Why? Because Jesus' words, look, are kind instructions to us. They're kind. He says, for he who is least among you all will be great. Now, I don't know how you read that, but you need to read the Bible all the way through. You could read, for he who is least among you all, and stop right there.
Well, I guess that's me.
Or, well, I guess according to the Bible, I'll just never have any influence at all. Keep reading. Will be great. But the definition is great God's way. Not your way, not my way. Great God's way. And believe me, his way is way better than your way and my way. The word least here is the word to be seemingly without greatness, considered of no apparent value. Didn't Isaiah 53:2 say that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come and he would have no form or comeliness that we should desire him? Did you know that? I know we've seen little watercolor paintings of Jesus and he looks so kind of Newport Beach surf-like with his hair blowing along the shore of the Galilee. He looks rather handsome. The Bible says in Isaiah, he's not comely or beautiful that you would even desire him. When Jesus came, he looked very common. He didn't walk 2 feet off the ground in some kind of hovering thing. That's amazing to think, but it's true. What is our excuse? There's no excuse at all. Well, I'm too young. I'm too old. Timothy was too young. Moses was too old. There's no excuse. Duct tape. The Holy Spirit will duct tape us back onto the field. We'll be great. There's no pride in this. There's no arrogance. We need to hear this. Jesus said, to get into the kingdom, we need to humble ourselves as a child. I tell you guys too much about my private life. This week, I told you, in Washington, D.C., I'm supposed to have a Taurus. I got to the airport. You know what a Taurus is? I'm not a Taurus. I don't believe in it. Drive it, the car, Ford Taurus. Supposed to be at the rental car place there at the airport.
We don't have your car.
Well, get a car. Your car company. I have a reservation. You got to give me a car. We have a gyro. What is that thing? It's like this big. My arms are bigger than the car. I said, I can't drive that car. I'm going downtown, Washington. I'm going to meet senators. You can't give me an M&M to drive around. And then they're great. You hear the keys tapping. We have a blue one. I said, I can't do it. It's okay. I'll go to Hertz. They're right next door. No, it's okay. Wait, hang on. We can get you into a town car. A what? A Lincoln town car. Do you know how big that car is? Here, and this is how much we need to be humble like a little child. I'm thinking, what is that thing? And it's right out there. It looked like the USS Reagan. All right, I'll take it. I'm in this thing. It's like, wow, everything. Man, and I'm driving. It's like, whoa, turn, will you turn? It's huge. And I'm driving this thing. And then once I get the hang of it, I got a Lincoln. And then I started looking around because now I got it. I know you turn about a mile before you need to turn. I got it. And then I started looking at people that have Lincoln Town cars on the freeway. They're like 90 years old. I went from total dependency upon God, how do you drive this thing, to, hey, look at me, I'm driving a town car. What a nut. I need to be humble like a child. We get some money in our pocket. Hey, do you know? Hey. What? We're nothing without him. He can take it away in a second. It's so funny. We get this stuff and it's like, well, I'm in Washington with a town car. God, the angels are up there just probably going, what an absolute mess this guy is. He has a caring voice. His voice is caring. He says, the least among you all will be great. Church, it means that we serve one another, to serve each other. Children are so much like that. Mommy, what can I do for you? Mommy's not feeling good. When you're sick, they come in, the little, mommy, what can I do? They're servants. Are we not as Christians to be servants? Didn't Jesus say in the Gospels, when he washed their feet, he said, do you know what I've done? And I'm thinking, what? He washed their feet. He said, I've given you an example. From here on out, wash one another's feet. Christians, did you know that in all the religious groups in all of the world, did you know that is the stellar peace? Everybody else is in it for themselves. What does Jesus say to the Christian? Serve one another. Minister to each other. Hey, I'm the head of the house. I'm the husband. I'm the man. That's right. You are the head of the house. You are the husband. Serve the wife. What? Wash her feet. I can feel, look, I can feel the tension right now. I can feel it. I can see a couple of this going on. And then you're going to tell me in the foyer, I don't want to hear it. Well, Jack, you know, if we had a better marriage, I'd think about it. You want a better marriage? Wash your feet. Serve your wife. Well, you know, I told you to wash her feet. Wash your feet, watch what happens. And it's biblical. We end with this, respond to his loving heart. Isn't it amazing that the Lord, his way, desires greatness for your life? What an amazing thing. He desires greatness, and this is it. You want great? Here it is. Get ready. One step. Matthew 18:3. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Period. Wow, what does that mean? Jesus told Nicodemus the answer. It's the same word. Nicodemus, unless you're born from above, born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. What's the one step? Being born again. The word in the Greek means born from above. How do you become like a child? You got to be born again. You can't start. You can't restart it. You can't refurbish us. We have to be dead and then raised again, so to speak, by being born again, born from above, being led by the Spirit, a spiritual-led life. The Bible is the manual. It's the way God laid it out. Very quickly, we're going to start doing this, by the way. I wrote this down. We're going to start doing this every week, if I remember. With all that we've looked at, what should you and I, how should we be asking? What should we be asking about these things? So we're going to start asking this kind of question. So what's in it for me? What does all this mean? Let's try it. What's in it for me? One, two, three. What's in it for me? I'm sorry, I messed you up. When I say one, two, three, you say, what's in it for me? One, two, three. Here's what it is, and we're done. We need to be believing again. Believing. We need to have faith in God. Number two, we need to be forgiving. Just do it. Talk to God about it. That person that's hurt you the most, we all got them. We need to be forgiving. Number three, we need to start being compassionate. That's what's in it for me. We need to be, listen to this one. This one's hard to swallow. Like a child, we need to be defenseless. Let God defend us. The more vulnerable we are, the more powerful God is in our lives. We need to be tender. Kids are tender. Let's start speaking tender words to each other. And we need to be honest. Kids are so honest. Jesus said that unless you become as a child, you will no way enter the kingdom of heaven.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Heaven in Just One Easy Step. It's a look at Luke chapter 9 and verses 46 through 48. Part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we're still offering Pastor Jack's DVD series called Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word. It's a valuable tool for when we share our faith, as well as for our own personal review. Our offer is this. We'll send it to you for your contribution to Real Radio of any amount. Just ask for it by title, Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word, and it's on DVD. There's more than one way to get in touch. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in your tax-deductible contribution, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.